I won't tell you which one I am. Yeah, before I begin talking on the subject for tonight, I just want to announce that they'll be selling tickets outside the door for the Ralph Nader rally that's taking place. That's taking place at the Fleet Center. You have to pay, but as you know, Ralph Nader does not have any money, and so it should be a great event. It's Sunday, October 1st, 2 o'clock. Michael Moore is speaking, Mel King is speaking, Ralph Nader is speaking, and I think I'm speaking. And just let me talk briefly about Iraq. We all agreed we're not going to talk very long. We want to give you time to ask questions, say what you like, because then they have to show a movie. And just a little bit of historical background, I guess, for people. I know you know this. There's a very sophisticated audience. The people who come to the Coolidge Corner Theater, a very special group. And you probably know some of this history, but I'll just remind you that that the Gulf War took place in 1991 against Iraq and Saddam Hussein. But before that, Saddam Hussein was a friend and ally of the United States, and the United States supported him and gave him arms and encouraged him in his war with Iran. And then these things happen in international affairs. Overnight, a friend becomes an enemy. Why did Saddam Hussein become an enemy? Well, in August of 1990, he invaded Kuwait. And I guess it was said publicly by all of our political leaders that that's when he became an enemy, which is a little hard to believe. That is hard to believe that George Bush, do you remember him? George Bush was anguished over the fate of Kuwait, and therefore he decided to go to war because he was against invasions. There a little history comes in handy, and you know about all the other invasions that have taken place where the United States did not intervene and tell the invader, quick, you've got to get out. You know, wasn't done to Turkey when it invaded Cyprus, wasn't done to Israel when it invaded Lebanon, wasn't done to Indonesia when it invaded East Timor, and it wasn't done to the United States when we invaded Panama. Didn't tell ourselves to get out, or else, you say. So it seems there were other reasons besides Kuwait, and some people claimed the reason was oil. And in fact, if you look at the history of American diplomacy is a euphemism, usually for intervention. If you look at the history of American diplomacy in the Middle East, what you find at the center of it, for a very long time, the motivation is oil. And so we went to war, and by the way, there were a number of opportunities not to go to war. There were a number of diplomatic overtures. There were a number of possibilities to get Saddam out of Kuwait, and the United States ignored all of them. It seems there was a determination to go to war. And then when we did go to war at the beginning of 1991, it was a particularly ugly war. I mean, wars are ugly. But this was not really a war. It was a slaughter. It was the greatest military power on earth against really a third-rate military power. And although they tried to exaggerate the military power of Iraq, but before it started, it was evident very quickly that's exactly what it was, a slaughter. If you look at the statistics given by the United States Bureau of Statistics on the casualties of the Gulf War, 150,000 casualties for Iraq, something like 170 for the United States. And some of you may remember some of the details of that slaughter. Remember the bombing of the air raid shelter in Baghdad in February of 1991. One of the most horrible atrocities of our time. This was not a case where the United States claimed that they were that the bomb fell on the air raid shelter as an accident. You know, they keep claiming when civilians are hit, when hospitals are hit, when schools are hit, when trucks and buses are hit, when trains are hit, they say it was an accident. Here they didn't claim that hitting the air raid shelter was an accident. They said it was deliberate, because the air raid shelter, they said, was really a communication center. That somewhere in that air raid shelter were secret implements of communication. Well, there were 600 people in that air raid shelter who were killed. Think of this theater, and think of the 600 people who are now in this theater, and imagine what happens in a bomb destroying and killing everybody in this place. That's what it was like. The reporters who went immediately through the wreckage afterward and looked for signs of there being, you know, electronic communication device, found nothing. And then, of course, there was the attack on retreating Iraqi troops, retreating from Kuwait and back into Iraq, but mercilessly attacked and attacked and attacked, and the killing of prisoners of war. It was a war full of some of the worst atrocities of our time. And I say that because it's important to understand that and know that when you think of the United States government pretending to have benign intentions and concerned only with getting rid of this terrible dictator, Saddam Hussein. But the people who died in the air raid shelter, the civilians who died in the air raids, the ordinary guys who were soldiers in the Iraqi army, they were not Saddam Hussein. They were the ones who died. And that has been, of course, that's the nature of war, in which the so-called enemy leader does not get killed, but ordinary people get killed. And then the war was followed by the sanctions. And Anthony Arnov, who was in Iraq recently, can tell you what he saw as a result of the sanctions. I, have read reports, horrendous reports, from people. Saw a report recently from somebody who was in Basra, told about going into the hospitals and what they found there as a result of the sanctions. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have died, children mostly, as a result of the sanctions. That's what we're here for tonight, to talk about that, to spread the word, to try to get you to spread the word about what is going on. And then there's been bombing and bombing. And in just about 2 years ago, in the fall of 1998, the United States decided it was going to bomb Iraq once again because Iraq wasn't complying, apparently, with the proper procedures for inspection, and Iraq was presumably building up weapons of mass destruction, which is sort of very ironic coming from the United States, the greatest possessor of weapons of mass destruction in history, the greatest user of weapons of mass destruction in history. And here they concerned that Saddam Hussein at some point in the future might have the capacity to build one nuclear weapon. We had 30,000. And so for that we're going to bomb. And what actually drew me into the discussion on Iraq was that I got an email from, and I was only a recent email person. I'm always, years behind technologically, And I got an email out of the blue from somebody, from a physician in London, an Iraqi physician, Dr. Mohammed El Obaidi. And he had read something that I had written about the bombing in Iraq that was taking place then in the fall of 1998. He read what I had written, and he sent me this email. And in his email he said, "I'm a physician who left Iraq because Saddam Hussein killed my father and my brother. So I came here to London. And then just the other day, I learned that a cruise missile had hit the house in which my mother lives just outside of Baghdad and killed my mother and my sister-in-law, that is the widow of my brother who was already killed, and their three children. So between Clinton and Saddam Hussein, they had wiped out his family. And he wanted people to know that. That brought home to me in a very, very personal way the things that have been going on day after day after day. The bombing continues, the sanctions continue, and it's something that is going to require a kind of outcry of protest by people in the United States and all over the world in order to sort of restore some semblance of humanity to what the United States is doing in the world. So I hope you will join us in that effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zinn.